listening to the Digital Strips podcast, the first
and best
webcomics podcast on the planet. And we don't know about you, but when we finally get a company brave enough to start putting autonomous robots in our homes, we hope they're as unaccountable and deflecting as Sterling Robotics. I am your host, and I am still giggling at the Roomba every time it runs into the wall. So no, I'm good on having a robo maid around that will just have me questioning things like I did back when I was back in college. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is happy with the town he has built with all of his friends and family at the dump. Thank you very much. He is Steve, the Geek Shitty.
Dump town forever. Also, have you ever considered that you make these intros a little too convoluted for your own good?
Oh, I hope over time I can make them as convoluted, like literally the intro is like 5 minutes and it's like, what was I talking about? Oh, come out of a fugue state. That wasn't that convoluted.
It has me questioning things like I did in college when totally made sexual passes at a Roomba. Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Ziggler.
No, these are two separate thoughts. I laugh at the Roomba when it hits the wall. Don't give me one that's a sexy lady, otherwise I might be questioning things. I'm a simple creature.
So what we get from this is you think that this lady is sexier than a Roomba. Got it.
I mean, if you want to get down to it, sure, I can get behind that. That's what she said.
Okay. No, you should. You should find the humanoid sexier than the sphere or cylinder.
It's not a sphere. Cylinders. It's a disc.
Yeah, it's a cylinder. A very squat That's not a cylinder.
A cylinder is not a disc. These are two
a disc
separate...
is a cylinder.
No, it's not. A disc is a frisbee. That is not a cylinder. A cylinder is a Bluetooth speaker or a toilet paper roll. That's a cylinder.
Those are also cylinders. A cylinder is any shape with two circles on the side and then it's connected in 3D. That's a cylinder.
Let us know
in the comments.
No, please don't. Do not discuss disc versus cylinder. Please. Talk about this comic we're about to talk about because it's awesome. Do not talk about... God. That is now destined to be our first t-shirt. Disc or cylinder. Vote. What's that? They never took off? Episode 700 what? Oh man, I don't know what went wrong.
These are the issues that all those big wig podcasts in Podcastywood don't want you to hear about. But a disc is a cylinder, people. Wake up!
You have TikTok now. Go make a TikTok and tell me how many people respond to it.
I'm going to take this TikTok section and I'm going to make a TikTok out of this section. And you will see.
This will also be the thing that convinces me not to get on TikTok. 100% absolutely. But 100% we are going to talk about a comic. And that comic is Emmy the Robot. It's brought to us by Dominic Cellini. And Emmy the Robot is, well, so robots. We all love them. We all know them. But have you ever had a robot that would actually just come live with you and clean your home and take care of your family? No. Sterling Robotics has one. Meet the Nandroid. This Nandroid, this one is named Emmy, and will come to your home, take care of your family, take care of your daughter, form a familial bond with her that can't be broken, and possibly someday short circuit and scare everyone and run away. And that's where we're at in the story. Emmy is a sweet robot. She is part of a line of robots, of Nandroids, that is made to be a nanny to families. And is made by Sterling Robotics, a company that is not clearly has no nefarious plans or schemes in its future. And Emmy comes to live with the Dallaire family. We have Ted and Angela and Madeline. And they are so happy to have Emmy around. And Emmy loves the family, but especially Madeline. And they are best friends. And... I mean, I basically described most of it starts out with like non sequitur comics, which is kind of misleading. Like there's two or three that are just kind of like, this is Emmy. here's a funny joke about robots. I'm like, okay, I know what this comic's going to be. This could be good. And then quickly pivots to, nope, this is about this story. And here's the story of Stirling Robotics. And here's the story of how Emmy came to be. And it actually tells a story. And it's kind of surprising, but it's, you know, kind of a welcome change, I guess, at that point. And then we're off and we meet the family that Emmy goes to stay with, and she becomes friends with Madeline, and they have fun. I wouldn't say adventures, but just they bounce off each other and they have fun together. And
it's the Phoebe and the Unicorn phase.
Yeah, basically. Except, yeah, I was going to say the unicorn is real, but the unicorn is totally real in that comic. So never mind. I have read so many pages of that comic because my daughter owns every single book now. And we have read plenty of, I have my, my unicorn voice of Marigold.
Ooh. Can you do the next 10 minutes of the podcast in Marigold's voice?
You really don't want to hear it.
Okay.
You don't want to hear it that long. It's very, 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 yes. Rich and snobby, and oh, I talk like everything like this.
I don't hear any difference between that and your regular voice.
Oh!
Boom, boom, boom! No, this is definitely not the comic it starts out to be, which I think is part of the fun. Like, I really liked the fun little intro of, like, the... It's very retrofuturism, where everything is how we really, really thought the future would be in the 50s. It turns out we were wrong. It is not like that. And that's okay. Like, it's fun to go back and look at what the world would be like if our original ideas had come to fruition. And we do have robot nannies taking care of our children. And they do have pepper spray in their arms. And they do... They're basically slaves that we made. But they're so sweet about it that you don't feel bad. And, yeah, it's fun. It's cute. And then you kind of go and you explore the world beyond that and how, you know... All those retro future worlds were designed for the rich and the powerful. Like, we never see how the poor and the downtrodden lived. And then as this comic progresses, we see the dark side of the company and we see Emmy thrown to the wilds and she meets Darcy, the queen of Dumptown, as you referred to her as. We see that side of things and we see what happens to the robots who are no longer useful. And it's just it's an ever-expanding story that goes beyond what it starts as, and each new layer is fun. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready for this now. And then I'm ready for this now. And it all kind of hinges on this one core character of Emmy, who is just a sweetheart. Sweetest little Roomba you could ever imagine. Anyone who finds her sexy must be a total deviant and should be punished.
It was a very dirty thing that almost came out of my mouth just a moment ago. I forgot which podcast we were recording. I almost just said it while staring out the window at the hard rain. I was like, oh, I'm really glad I didn't say it out loud. Derailed things quickly. So,
you want to take her to Dumptown, huh?
No, it was worse than that. I'm not going to say it. So, it really does. It builds a world, and it's a world that's kind of cool to check out. And I feel like for whatever reason in recent podcasts and maybe even before that, I don't hone in on the artwork as much as I should, because the artwork is what draws me to a comic first and foremost. Like, I think anybody, even if you're there for the writing and you really want to read this story, the artwork is what's going to pull you in some way, because it's what you see. And the artwork of this comic, the character designs, everything is... It's one of those things that it's definitely copyright my jam, but also just amazing. Like, it totally passes the silhouette test. You get the characters that are, oh, big and large. Even the two scientists, whatever they are, that they introduce from Stirling, immediately you can tell them apart, because it's like large, wide set, muscular black guy and little kind of not shrimpy necessarily, but kind of rotund white dude. And it's like, you can just totally immediately tell them apart easily, even without like character names or whatever. And I just love the design of this. Like you said, that retro future kind of look. It definitely starts out as making you think it's really timeless or set early in like the 40s and 50s. And then you think it's not, and it doesn't matter. They kind of introduce, you know, cell phones and there's robots obviously and other things. So it's like, it's set sometime and it doesn't really matter. And that's cool. And I think feel. The there's not jokes all the time. There are jokes, but it's not like there has to be a punchline eventually because we're telling a story. There don't have to be punchlines all the time, but there are. And I think one of my favorite ones is where Emmy is just very sheepishly, very innocently playing hostess while Madeline's at school, and she thinks maybe she's alone, and then the mom Angela comes in and says, "Oh, you're putting away her toys, thank you so much," and she's having a tea party, and she had her pearls on at the time. It's like, have you seen them? And then when she leaves the room, she pulls them out of her mouth. That's where she was hiding them, where she wouldn't, why she wouldn't
the
say
deception
anything.
Will she's, never end.
Yeah, when will the deception end? It's like, oh, that is like the worst thing that can happen in Emmy's day up to that point is, like, you know, she's almost caught with the pearls because she just, you know, wanted to play tea party with her buddies. So it's very cute and innocent, and I think it's all ages. I don't think we've really encountered anything that would be too shocking or whatever. Like, even the idea of the what they call the outmodes. These are the robots that, you know, the older models that get outmoded, and so they kind of are just completely forgotten and wander the streets. They do dancing for money, which is funny, and funny because it's, you know, that basically they're the homeless of this world, and those are the robots, and they can't be trusted. The Sterling robots are taught, or the new ones are taught, that, you know, or they're programmed that you cannot trust them. You are here for the children and the families. You are to protect them. So if you encounter any of these, use the proper measures to make sure they do not affect the family. And that's what eventually causes Emmy to kind of freak out when she gets a system update, it seems like, and takes the update, and then something's going wrong with maybe her hand or whatever. It's hard to tell. Maybe like electric. Something's wrong. And then they have the party for Madeline, and Emmy unfortunately freaks out when there's candles on the cake, and she thinks it's a danger to the family, especially Madeline. So she goes into fight or flight mode and sprays everything with her fire extinguisher nozzle, and it sprays the cake and sprays the dad. And yeah, basically has to be taken away to be fixed. And that's kind of the biggest turning point of the comic so far, because then we end up back at Sterling. She has to escape there because she doesn't feel like she can trust the people there, even though one of the doctors clearly is way more sympathetic to the plight of robots than the other. But yeah, we meet more characters there, and we, again, spin the story off in different directions for different characters, and it goes places. It doesn't really go... It's pretty... kind of local, I guess I would call it, because we've only been, they live in the city. The city is where Sterling is. The dad works for Sterling. It seems like a lot of people do. Like, it's, you know, maybe like the biggest company in the city, in the town. And so we kind of stay in that area for right now. I imagine we'll probably branch out, but we've kind of stayed in this city area so far, and I don't know, it kind of makes it feel a little more, not simple, but in a good way, but...
Just yeah. Homey, almost. Because
that was the word I was going to use, but it didn't seem right. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. The it's very locally scoped, and slowly builds out on it. So you're expanding not only the concepts that you're addressing, but the places where you've been, and we go and we see how the other half lived and how the outmodes lived, and that's, you know, the introduction of a new area, which kind of serves as an indicator that, okay, the world is more than what we thought it was before. And that's, like, it's surprisingly layered. And you talk about it's for all ages, and it certainly could be. Like, there's nothing offensive. It's very cute characters. In the first bits, especially, kids would find quite funny. But as you start to talk about more mature concepts like planned obsolescence, and what does that mean when that obsolescence is a person? Or just shy of being a person. You know, what does that mean? Like, how do we interact with objects that present as human but aren't? All these things that are really quite heavy sci-fi concepts are just told through these adorable characters. So it's very, while it's all ages, I think it's also very adult in some of the subject matter. in a good way, you know, like, let's think about things philosophically and decide how we feel about this sort of way, not the wieners and hoo-hoos sort of way.
I was going to ask, what way are you talking about? But then you totally clarified it, so never mind.
That's what I'm here for. Exposition.
Yeah, that's what you're here for. I totally agree. It is telling an adult story in a kid-friendly way, and that takes a deft hand, and it's much harder than it seems, and I think Dominic does a great job of balancing that, and I already mentioned the visuals that I love. I think it just tells the story so wonderfully. It makes it really... It's kind of muted tones. It's not really pop-off-the-page color, so it's kind of... Yeah, reduced in that way, so it's not super kiddy. It kind of seems like... I think that kind of reduces the punch of everything and just kind of makes it a little more laid back, which is on purpose, I'm sure. But it just seems like a really nice world that, you know, clearly we're seeing is not completely nice. We've met the dumpster diving girl that basically lives at the dump, who is going to discover Emmy, and they, you know, must become friends, and she must help Emmy get back to her family. I imagine that's the point of the story I'm at. But there are these concepts we're going to explore, and we're going to do it in a way that is more appealing to everyone, not just adults. And we're going to do it with this art style and these cute characters. And it's great to me. I couldn't stop reading. I would just read one page. It flows pretty well. It's on Webtoons, and the pages aren't terribly long. Some are shorter, some are longer, but there's never one that scrolls forever, like a lot of Webtoons, where it's like, I feel like I read an entire chapter and that was one page. No, stop it. These are pretty digestible chunks, and yeah, easy to read, stop, leave off, jump back in. I haven't found any problem with that, but I have gotten on several tears when I just keep reading, want to read the story. So I enjoy all the characters. You kind of think, like, at the beginning that parents are going to be stereotypical waspy parents that are just, you know, there to be the ones that Madeline constantly just says, oh, you don't understand Emmy and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, they actually, Dominic actually takes the time to make them three-dimensional characters. And they, you care about them as well, like, in one way or another. And I appreciated that, because that really felt like that would definitely be their role, is just the parents that don't understand and eventually maybe are made to understand, but having them actually be characters in the comic and we get to do things with them is, I don't know, that was a nice touch, a nice surprise. And I don't know, maybe the old timey feel or look made me think that the parents are going to be like that. Just like the, okay, dear. Yeah. You go to work. I'll clean the house while you're gone and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's not that. And it's readily happy to tell you that, this is not that kind of story. This is my own kind of story. This is how I tell it and enjoy. And I certainly did.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's well-rounded. Everything exists for a reason. Even the other nandroids are developed and have their own personalities, and that just makes everything feel better, and it's very engaging, and that's exactly what you want from a comic like this. So mad props all around.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the other nandroids, because that is funny when they're all riding the bus together and they're very much like the nannies would be, you know, if they're taking the kids to school for the day, and they're gonna gossip and they're gonna have their own personalities, and one's the dumb blonde, and it's funny to see them all standing. They stand there, they hold the thing on the bus, and then the kids hold on to them, because, I mean, they're robots. They're probably, you know, just as sturdy as a pole that's in the bus, so why wouldn't they? And, you know, see the kids, like, one's, like, looking at their phone, ones are just staring off into nothing. It's like, they're also pretty good representations of kids. Like, they're, and Madeline, you know, does things that are pretty standard modern kid things that they would do. So I think that's also rings true when it needs to. So Yeah, I think Dominic just it seems like he has a very high quality production eye and knows how to write these stories and also obviously draw them in amazingly detailed ways, but also incredibly simple ways, just depending on what needs to be drawn. Usually it's kind of buildings. Those look, you know, more detailed and cartoony, but also very realistic in their structure. And then the characters just look different shapes and cartoon. I love it. I just love the look of this comic. I love all the characters that are introduced, and I love the look and feel and the humor. I think it's a home run, and really glad I found this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's stop listening to us. Go read it. We're done.
Pretty much. That will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
I robotically will be at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. And that email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. We give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music, which is from their song Hole. That's Whole. You can find Hole along with many other great copyright-free songs on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify. And if you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. A show featuring two guys who have never met in real life, giving each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. That show is called Then You Ruined It, and you can find Then You Ruined It along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If those platforms allow for 5-star reviews, please leave us those. We really appreciate them. But until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I remain Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel, where robots freak out. But they're cute, so we let them get away.
Error. What is love? This is fire. Pshh.
I will admit, if a robot was in my home and it said, "What is love? This is fire," I would immediately turn it off. Unplug. Fine, all right, shut off.
Well, then you're prepared for the future in ways I did not expect.
I can shut off robots if I'm freaked out by them.
Yeah, that's good. It's better than I thought you'd be.
I mean, I learned the IT, the first lesson of IT. Turn it off, then turn it back on again.
That's true.
That's what I do to my robots.
He said as if he had a robot.